I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. They are saying a final farewell for President Carter. It is underway in Georgia right now. People are lining the streets and remembering our former president. His friends are carrying his casket. The procession is underway, and as they remember the life of this great American and what he meant to this country, the contributions that he made, his beloved wife, as they begin to talk to his friends and the people that worked with him at the Capitol in his home state of Georgia as well, it really gives us a renewed lesson on history. We oftentimes, when we're talking about presidents, did not mention this man as president. We mentioned him as humanitarian because he did so much more for this country than just to become the president. You know, you look at what he did for Habitat for Humanities and all of the people who were once homeless, who are now housed, the people that he was able to help in Georgia with all of not just his philanthropic work, but he got down with the people and built homes. You know, anybody can throw a check at a problem and allow somebody else to take care of it. But this man put a hammer in his hand and work to build homes so that people would have somewhere to live. And I just remember the story that gave me a newfound appreciation for his dedication to this country. Because it's easy to be dedicated when the cameras are on you, when you have a position, when you have the title of a president. But he remained a leader, a humanitarian leader. In his latter years, he fell while he was building with Habitat for Humanities. And the next day, he was back out there, patch on his eye, scraped up, bruised up, but still, he was out there helping. And so, you know, we're going to keep you updated as the final farewell for President Carter is underway in Georgia. A great humanitarian, an amazing man. He will sorely and truly be missed, but I know he is in heaven with his beloved wife because I know that he was a devout Christian man. I have to talk to my man, my brother, because, you know, as we see the funeral for former President Carter earlier this week, I was at the memorial service for Kerry Dietzick. Al Schock just reported on the first homicide of the year. There's a lot going on in the news. And it's easy to get down in the dumps. It is easy to get depressed. It is easy to sulk or say, you know what, 2025 is off to a horrible start. I saw somebody that said they would prefer a gently used 2006 or a certified 2016. They don't want 2025. And this year is just 4 days old. And, you know, one of the things that I try to do when I'm down, when I'm feeling low, is find something to smile about. Find something to laugh about. Find a joke. Find somebody who can tickle my funny bone, right? Because I'm usually the one that's tickling other folks' funny bone. That's why my company's called ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. It's not called ShalettaMakesMeDepressedOrCry.com. And my brother Andrew is someone Who does that? He, you probably remember him. He does movie reviews and drinks. He was on Twin Cities Live for a very long time, mixing cocktails and having fun. He's a movie buff. He's a theater buff. He is a photographer. He is an editor. He is a producer, but he is also a comedian, and he has a show coming up. And Andrew is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year, Shaletta.
I am doing better because you are here. And how is your lovely bride?
Oh, she is doing spectacular this year. She's out for a walk, enjoying this lovely weather while we have it. At least it's
Right.
sunshine outside. It might be a little bit cold, but it's still sunshine.
Amen. It could be snow. We could be shoveling.
Yes.
We could be talking about all the accidents because the roads are slick. We got a beautiful, nice, crisp, cold, sunny Minnesota afternoon, and I said we take full advantage of it. I know that's right. Walk it out, girlfriend. Now, Andrew, for folks who may have seen you on Twin Cities Live, you were the roaming photographer with the reporter. You did some stuff where you would mix drinks and have fun, and you just have so much personality. But a lot of people don't realize
Thank you.
that you are a comedian. Now, how long have you been doing comedy?
Oh my God, we are actually, excuse me, we are coming up on 6 years of me doing comedy.
Wow. And
Yeah.
how did that get
Started.
started? Because that was not, when you told me you were going to start doing comedy, I did not have that on your bingo card. I could see it because you were always funny. You were always making people laugh. So it was just a natural progression. But it just came, for me, it came out of nowhere 6 years ago when you said, I'm going to start doing comedy.
No, like there, like everything came up like the way you said. I kept on like making jokes with my wife in the car, and I was like, well, maybe I should do stand up comedy. And that's about as far as it went for like a couple of years. You know, you just say stuff. He's like, yeah, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And then a friend of mine, her name is Sarah McPett. She used to do a show, called the Big Fat Comedy Hour. And every single month, she would have what she would call a virgin sacrifices. Someone who never did comedy before. They would give you 3 minutes on stage right before the headliner came out. And then they would pass around a donation bucket and you could give it to your charity of choice. I did that. I probably went 5 minutes over my 3 minutes of time. And I got hit by the comedy bug, and then I just started going to open mics all around the Twin Cities.
And folks love to see you coming. Your shows are always packed. But what was it like? You know, this is the new year, and people are talking about doing new things, whether that's writing a book, going back to school. We'll be talking with a college a little bit later in the show for folks who say, you know what? I never went to college, and my kids are out of the house now. I can go back to school. So we'll be talking to somebody about how do you get enrolled in college if you're over 50 years old and you want to do something new. But you know, so and some folks will say, you know what? I am funny, just like Andrew. And I think I might want to try my luck and get on stage. You know, talk to me about that process. What was that like?
Well, it's scary at first because I mean, like you have to get out the house. It's usually the open mics are late at night. Some of them go to like maybe 1, 2 in the morning, too. But I mean, like if you want to commit to something, like this is a different type of commitment. It's not like your workout. It's definitely like the hours are late is when people want to laugh. But I mean, the community around the Twin Cities comedy is awesome and it's welcoming. And like, if you are even a little bit funny, people are like, will want to give you advice and teach you how to get better. So, it's not as very cutthroat as like you would hear stories about like maybe in Chicago or New York City. The Twin Cities comedy community is amazing around here, and I suggest anybody at least just get on an open mic and try it.
Okay. Now we got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want you to talk to me because you've got a show coming up. Folks are going to want to see you perform, and I want to make sure they know where you are because they want to do it, but they got to get their nerve up. And if they can see you doing it, knowing that this is not like something that you always dreamed of. 6 years ago, you decided, I'm funny. I'm going to try something new. I'm going to get up on stage. You did it. And now you're doing it on a regular basis. And sometimes
That's
I just
right.
believe that folks have to see it in order to be it. So, where can you see my brother Andrew doing his comedy? We'll tell you next.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
My brother Andrew Shing In is working as a comedian. I am so proud of him. 6 years ago, he decided, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to do something different. And that different thing was getting up on stage and being funny. It's one thing to make your wife and friends laugh. They love you. Sometimes they just have to chuckle because they don't want to tell you your jokes are bad. But to decide that he's going to step out on faith, step up on stage. Oh my God, I just, that is so brave, especially when that was not his career. And, you know, a lot of us this year are deciding we're going to do something new. And if that is you, and you want to find inspiration, sometimes you have to see it in order to be it. And so Andrew is doing comedy, and I want to make sure that if that is something that you think you want to do, you think you want to be a comedian, you want to get up on stage, you're funny, you want to be funny, you want to get paid for that, you want to quit your day job and make that your passion as well as your project. You got to go see Andrew perform. Andrew, you got a show coming up. You got to tell us where it is.
Oh, yeah. I have actually two shows coming up this week. One is going to be on Tuesday at Gambit's 1 year anniversary of their open mic. Jesse the Shrink runs this mic every Tuesday. So, like you said, if you want to come out and see if you're funny, come on every Tuesday at Gambit Brewing in downtown St. Paul. And, See what the open mic is all about. Come to talk to Jesse, and he might put you on the following week. So it's so the upcoming Tuesday, January 7th, is our 1 year anniversary show. There's 20 comics from around the Twin Cities. These are all like people who have headlined this open mic before, and we're just gonna have a great time on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be fun. Okay, and so you said you had another You're doing comedy at another spot this week. Where is that going to be?
Oh, yes. And actually, it's a 2 year anniversary of my own mic. So I have my own show at the American Legion 98 in St. Paul Park. It's a part of 328 Grill that is out there. We are there every second Thursday of the month. Brand new lineup, three comics I host every single week. Great food, great times, great laughs. Come on out. It's called the LOL Comedy Showcase.
Okay. Now, tell us how we can get information on that Gambit, showcase where you're going to be doing, your comedy on Tuesday.
Well, if you go to gambitbrewing.com, you can go to the events, and then there's all the information is, right there on their website.
Okay. And then the LOL comedy, where can we go to get tickets or find out more information?
Well, the greatest thing about these, both of these shows, these are absolutely free. There is no.
Okay. Stop tickets. Back up. Getting... Wait a minute. Stop.
Yes.
Because you just said everybody's favorite word, free. So you're
yes,
telling me that
free.
We can get free tickets to a comedy show and we won't be breaking our New Year's resolution about saving money and not spending money so we can go out and we don't have to pay anything. Okay, great. So let's back all the way up to Tuesday. Do we have to register? Do we have to be on the guest list? How do we can
nope.
we just show up?
You just show up, you walk in the door, and you can just enjoy free comedy. Don't worry about being late. The show starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Okay. And that's cool because that gives us time to get the kids, because that's going to be the first day back to school for some folks. That'll give us enough time to get the kids situated, get them fed, get them bathed, get us a sitter, or if they're old enough, put them to bed. And then we can head on over to Gamut and watch you perform that night. And so tell us about the LOL event, because if that's free too, I might as well go to both of them.
Yes, St. Paul Park is a little bit south of the Twin Cities. It's a great time. We have four amazing comedians that are going to be there. I don't know if you've been to the 328 Grill, but Mike German is there. He makes amazing food, sandwiches and burgers, things like that. So that one starts at 7 o'clock as well. It's free to get in for that show, and we're done by 9 o'clock. That's what we try to do. So like you said, if you want to get the kids into bed early, you won't break yourself the next morning going to work.
Yep. And you know, that is the great thing about this show. A lot of times we don't want to go out during the week because we got to wake up for work the next day. But, you know, if you've got a show that starts at 7 and it's over at 9, you can get home by 10 and you are not out past your bedtime. I'm a woman of a certain age. If I don't get home before my bedtime, God bless whoever I'm meeting with the next day, because I am cranky as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, Andrew, since you're doing your comedy, and I know you do a lot of other things, and people can book you, they can have you come and entertain at a private event, not just, you know, at the comedy shows, because I know we've got a lot of corporate folks who are listening, and, you know, they have corporate events for their staff, and you know, sometimes they want, you know, a comedian to come in and lighten things up. They want to have somebody come in and tell a few jokes between the breakout sessions, or, you know, if they're doing some heavy, heavy work, they say, you know what, we want to lighten the load. We need to get us a comedian in here. How can folks find you if they want to book you for an event?
Well, you can find me on TikTok or Facebook at Drew Does Comedy. Also, I have my own website. It's drewdoescomedy.com.
Drew Does, D-R-E-W, doescomedy.com, and you're spelling things exactly the way they're supposed to be spelled. There's no funny
That's
business
exactly
with the letters
the way,
or anything like
no
that.
No spaces, no underscores, no like capitals, nope, just Drew Does Stand Up.
Okay, wait, is it Drew Does Stand Up or Drew Does Comedy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Drew Does Stand Up. It's Drew Does Stand Up.
Drew Does Stand Up. Up drewdoesstandup.com. That is where you can find my friend Andrew Shing, and he is available for gigs, and I'm guessing you got a calendar on there, so people want to see where you are next. Can they get that on your information, all the information on your website as well?
Of course you can, and you can get information on the website of where the event is and ticket prices as well on the website.
Oh my gosh, I'm just so proud of you. So what's coming up next? What big thing do you have coming up? We all are making New Year's resolutions about our careers and about our family and friends, about our finances, about our weight. And I broke all of my ready, Drew. So I said,
oh,
this
no.
year I'm only eating salads and I'm only drinking water, right? And then my mother came to town and she made some of my favorite meals. She made smothered pork chops and meatloaf and chitlins and greens and cabbage, and then Vanessa Drews dropped off some cheesecake, so we had some cheesecake funk over here. And so I had told my friend Gina,
cheesecake is one of the best cheesecakes in the
ever,
world
in the
cow.
World in the whole
How
world
can you pass that up?
I did not. I didn't. I talked to my friend Gina before New Year's. We planned to go to lunch yesterday, and so she was like, "Well, I picked a place where they have a lot of a variety of salads." And I asked, I said, "Well, why would you do that?" And she said, "Because you told me that you were only eating salads this year." I was like, "Girl, no, we could just go somewhere else, because I've been eating chitlins and pork chops and spaghetti and all kind of cool stuff because my mama's in town and she's cooking." So, I've already broken that. So what New Year's resolution did you make?
Well, so I don't like to take, like, for the New Year's resolutions, I don't like to take things away. I like to just, like, add a lot of stuff or just kind of, like, keep on doing good things that I do during the year. So one resolution I'm going to do is I'm going to walk more. So
okay.
I want to get up to, like, 10,000 steps a day. That's one. And then I have a couple of goals. I want to do comedy in 5 states that I have not performed comedy in this year. So
okay, that's a nice number, 5. Okay, what, if you had your pick, what would be the first state?
If I had my pick? Oh, God, New York. I would try to get into New York, but that is, that is really tough.
And nothing is impossible. Really, really you got up on stage 6 years ago, and you have gotten a lot of fans since then, a lot of followers, made a mm-hmm. lot of people happy, made a lot of people smile, and I'm just so proud of you. Drew Shing In, my friend, thank you so much for joining the Shaletta Show.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, love you, brother. And you all stick around. We've got more to come.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:37. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And Eric Roper expresses himself in the Star Tribune on a regular basis. He works there just like I do. He writes stories. But it's his latest piece and podcast that has everybody in town talking. And if you know Eric and you have been close to him, you know that he has been talking your ear off about this upcoming project. And I am glad that it is finally here so we can get the whole deal and the total scoop. He's spilling the tea on the people who were in his house before him. And honey, there is tea to be spilled. He's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Shaletta Show.
Hi, Shaletta. How are you? Thank you for that introduction.
I am good, my friend. Now, I have to say there is a conflict of interest going on right here because you are married to my brother, Tane Danger. So I consider you pretty much a brother-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, you're both on Almanac. Tane is great.
Tane is amazing, and I am so glad that he has you in his life to take care of him, to love on him. You guys are beautiful together, and I'm so honored to be friends with the two of you. And I can't remember where we were the last time we were in the same room together, but you were talking about, oh, it was when Michelle Norris was at Westminster Town Hall, when Tane was in charge over there, and he was kind enough to invite me to be a part of the program, and I got to stand next to her, my idol, and you were like, Shaletta, so Tane and I bought this house and the people who live there, and we found out all this information, and I've been digging and I've been looking, and oh my God. And you start telling me all these amazing stories, and you was like, I'm gonna do a series on it, and I'm gonna do a podcast, and I'm gonna tell everybody about it, and now it's here and you get to tell everybody about it.
I know, I'm so excited. It's been nearly 5 years working on this, so it's going to be the biggest thing I'll do in my career, and I've been with the Star Tribune for 15 years, or at least the biggest thing up until now. This is the biggest thing I've done.
Okay, so you got to tell us all about it. You moved into a new house. What part of town was it?
So I live in Kingfield, which is in southwest Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. We moved in, Tane and I moved into the house in March 2020, so we all sort of remember what was going on then. We're about to sort of get locked in our homes during the pandemic. And I, you know, I already write about local history. That was, you know, I run Curious Minnesota for the Star Tribune, and you know, some are already interested in that. So I started looking into the history of the house and actually discovered a map that had been produced by an organization called Mapping Prejudice, and it was about this wave of a small wave of Black families who had lived in southwest Minneapolis in the early 20th century. And this is today the whitest part of Minneapolis. And all these families were eventually gone. And one of those families lived in my house, the Robinson family, Harry and Clementine Robinson. And I don't know. I just became literally obsessed. You know, I mean, I as the more I found about them, the more I kind of went down this rabbit hole. It was really strange. I said, well, this is really interesting, and that's really interesting. And it took me 3 years to even realize that I felt like I had enough here, that there was really a story to be told. And then I told my editors about it. And then one of my editors said, could this be a podcast? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. Making it into a podcast was a much more complicated endeavor than maybe we even anticipated. And then about a year and a half ago, Melissa Townsend, who is a she's an audio producer around town. She was formerly with Minnesota Public Radio. She came in as the audio producer on the project and really sort of made it what it became. I mean, this was really a joint effort between Melissa and I, and I think that really comes across when you listen to it. So it's been quite a journey. I don't know if I'm getting into all the details you were wanting to know about, but that's kind of the general background of the research process, at least.
Okay, so this is what I want to know. How did you even find out about this? I mean, did you hit a wall? You know, were you guys doing some construction and you found a bottle and there was a note in it? I mean, give us a scoop, because we see these kinds of things on movies, and like people are doing construction and they try to break down a wall and all of a sudden they find a treasure trove of pictures and, you know, a safe with $1 million in it. How did that work?
I would love to find, I mean, we have found things in the house, particularly flyers, which is a little unusual. Typically, you find newspapers, but I've actually found a number of flyers from 1915, 1929, and 1935, which are now hanging in the house. But that's sort of irrelevant to the project itself. But, you know, starting from discovering this thing, because I was Googling my address and finding this map, I realized, like, okay, so our house plays an interesting role. Typically, when people are talking about some of these housing discrimination issues, they're talking about, you know, the covenant that's on their house or something like that, you know, or redlining or other things. In the case of our house, you know, it was clear, like, okay, actually, this is where a black family did live. And so there's an interesting history here to understand, like, who were the people and where did they end up and what does it sort of teach us about the history of the city? And the deeper I got into that, it became clear to me that there was sort of there was a history to this part of Minneapolis as far as housing and race.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
was, to my eyes, it wasn't well known to me. We've sort of been going back and forth on whether to say that this is like, you know, how well known history is. All I know is it was fairly new to me. A lot of the information that I was learning, particularly around things that happened really right here in my neighborhood, which you'll mm-hmm. hear on the podcast. You know, that sort of gets an entry point. And the Robinson, you know, the podcast is about the Robinsons' lives and walking through sort of time from the 1880s to the 1960s through their eyes. But then also they are really a window into Minneapolis and the black experience in Minneapolis in the early 20th century. And so the people in their orbit, the social gatherings that they're having and the people that they're hanging out with are some of the most prominent people of the era. So it was really interesting to sort of, this was a throughway to learn about all sorts of pieces of history in Minneapolis.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to tell us about this family. I want you to tell us about this podcast, because I find it so interesting that you got all this history. And, you know, you could have just sat around with Tane and roasted some s'mores and y'all talked about it and went on about your business. But I want to know what compelled you to not just tell the story in an article, but to put the series together and to do a podcast about it. More with my brother-in-law, Eric Roper, when we come back. It is 12:50 and we are reminiscing about a family that we would all not be talking about today had it not been for Star Tribune reporter Eric Roper. His journey to uncover the history of a black couple who owned his Minneapolis home back in 1917, is giving us a lesson on Black history in the month of January. Go to StarTribune.com. About the middle of the page, you can see the information about his limited series podcast and get a preview of it. It's available on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. He is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, continuing our story about this couple. Now, tell us about them, Eric.
So Harry and Clementine Robinson, Harry was actually born in southern Indiana. And so we went to Indiana and went to the area where he's from. And there's historians there who, some of those historians actually knew about him, which is, you'll understand when you hear the podcast why they knew about him. And then Clementine is from a rural part of Missouri north of Kansas City. And we also went there, and then we have some new connections down there. And I've actually been down there twice. And, you know, they came here to Minnesota around 1908. And this is sort of, you know, when we think of the Great Migration, this is really an early, early wave of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people mm-hmm. wouldn't even put it into the official Great Migration, that timeline. It depends right. who you talk to. But, you know, they're very early coming to the city and, you know, putting down roots. And I think one thing that was surprising to me as I looked into this is, I mean, you know, Harry, despite a lot of his accomplishments early in life, you know, he really cannot get employed. I mean, you know, he ends up being employed as a waiter because that's one of the only jobs that would hire a mm-hmm. Black person in that period. And some that was, I mean, you know, we don't talk a lot about that. I mean, we didn't have sort of official Jim Crow laws here in Minnesota, but there was widespread discrimination in employment and housing and other areas that have sort of been, you know, maybe not as remembered. And these were some of the things that became clearer to me as we walked through the Robinsons' lives. But they ended up in my house. Clementine was a massage therapist who worked in hospitals and also in private practice. And, you know, literally the room I'm sitting in now, you know, I don't know, this is a 3-bedroom house and they never had kids. So I always wondered, well, maybe she, you know, maybe she took a point sometimes, like in this room. You know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell, but they were very accomplished people, and you sort of get a sense of that when you listen to the podcast. And I should say that the name of the podcast is Ghost of a Chance. And so, if your listeners out there listen to podcasts and they have podcast apps, pretty much on all the apps, if you look for Ghost of a Chance, you can subscribe now. It is not out yet. It'll be out on the 13th, but you can hear the trailer. So that's up now.
And, you know, I'm glad you're talking about this because this is new for a lot of people, but it ain't new for Black folks who live in the Twin Cities. They actually mm-hmm. call Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota Jim Crow of the North. And some of those issues mm-hmm. that the Robinsons faced, Black people are still facing today. Underemployment, redlining without, you know, saying that it's redlining, you know, unequal pay. And those things still plague us today. So a lot of times we still don't have a ghost of a chance to be as successful as our white counterparts because those systems and discriminations are still alive and well and walking around our fair city. Even today, I often brag, Eric, that I made $1 million for the past 2 years every year. And people say, oh, my God, that's amazing that you did that with your company. And I say, you know, let's not get excited about it, because as hard as I work, if I was a white man, I would have made $10 million. So those systems that the Robinsons face, those restrictions, those systematic fundamental systems that have been in place to keep Black and brown people from being as successful as we could be are still happening today. So I'm so glad that you are kicking off a precursor and a prequel to Black History Month with this. And now I really want to find out from you, Eric, you know, those people being in that house and you're telling this story after you've done your extensive research, you've gone to visit their family. You didn't just the towns where they live. You didn't just rely on, you know, microfilm and microfiche and, you know, just information that you got online or through phone calls. What was the thing that you found out that surprised you the most about this family?
The thing that surprised me the most, I mean, I think the thing that surprised me the most, which is, it's about the family, but tangentially, is sort of how intentional the effort was to keep black people out of Southwest Minneapolis, specifically. I mean, maybe I was just sort of naive about it, but when I dug into the history, you know, and specifically there was actually an incident five blocks from our home, you know, attempting to sort of oust the roughly nine black families from Southwest Minneapolis. It was a large protest meeting about this, very close to our home. And, that was not, I mean, I don't think that's well known history, and it was sort of very surprising to me. And I learned that at the beginning of the process. And it made me very interested in the Robinsons' lives and sort of like, you know, how they ended up here, where they ended up when they left this house. And then, you know, in looking into that, we learn about the history of what's now known as the Old South Side, which is a community that was formed to the east of here over across what is now 35W, that was sort of like the hub of the black middle class in Minneapolis. But I think the biggest surprise for me was learning about some of the history of a neighborhood that I really love. I mean, frankly, and it's, you know, it's tough to learn unpleasant details of the history of your own neighborhood. But that was probably the most surprising piece to me.
Well, I thank you for telling the truth, even though sometimes it hurts. And I appreciate you opening the eyes of the people who may not have known about this. Eric Roper with the Star Tribune, make sure you go out and subscribe to listen to Ghost of a Chance. You can listen to the trailer now. It is coming out later this month. Go to StarTribune.com to get a sneak preview. And you don't have to worry about a sneak preview because we're bringing you the whole next 2 hours of the Shaletta Show coming up.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.